is Common Sense Radio. Straightforward and no excuses.
All right. Come on now.
This is the Steve Gruber Show.
Call me crazy.
Ooh, yeah.
What I said was perfectly right and spot on accurate.
Boy's got a mouth like a cannon, always shooting at all.
Stop. Yeah, stop. I mean, you're way off script.
Got it in me. Gonna quit until it all comes out.
Hey, boy.
Yeah, you know, it's not cynical, it's common sense.
Pay attention to me when I'm talking to you.
I'm gonna rock the nation. Rock the nation.
Genuine, accountable, and wrong. Here is Steve Gruber.
It is Free for All Friday, my friends. Where to start on this day? What scandal would you like to start with? Well, let's not start with a scandal. Let's start with Michigan State. What do you think? Who do you like? I think it's probably a good year for Michigan. Just a guess. Of course, they're 24-point favorites heading into East Lansing. Michigan undefeated. Sparty's been taking his lumps for the past 4 or 5 weeks. It's been kind of a rough season for Sparty fans. But, hey, you can't go to the playoffs every year. Well, unless you're Alabama, I guess. All right, 7 minutes after. If you'd like to join the conversation at any point today, 888-900-9966. Where do you want to start as far as scandals go? How about this one? Emails hacked from the account of John Podesta, the Clinton campaign chairman, disclosed that Hillary Clinton was advised to do fundraisers simply to make George Soros happy. Isn't that nice? George Soros, the billionaire, who's 85 years old, born in Hungary, through his top aides, freely spoke with Podesta and others. In one instance, trusted Clinton advisor Huma Abedin wrote to campaign manager Robbie Mook back in October of 2014, to tell him Clinton was having dinner with Soros. Abedin said she expected Soros would eventually ask Clinton to appear at a fundraiser for America Votes, one of the many extremely liberal organizations that Soros funds. Abedin wanted to know how to proceed. Another fundraiser that's coming to light as a result of WikiLeaks, a fundraiser done by Hillary Clinton, as she was the headliner, for a fundraiser for the wife of the man that eventually investigated her email scandal at the FBI. Gee, no conflict of interest there. You know, why not? Why wouldn't she? You know, just fundraise for the guy at the FBI that eventually took over her investigation. Donald Trump jumping on another leaked memo revealing that there was interplay between the Clinton Foundation and the Clinton family business interests, calling the revelations outright corrupt. In Ohio, Donald Trump was addressing the 12-page internal memo that came out yesterday from WikiLeaks, penned by Clinton confidant Doug Band, outlining his, quote, unorthodox dual role within Clinton world. Band was principal for Tenio, a private consulting firm tasked with raising millions for the Clinton Foundation, while also helping former President Bill Clinton lock down millions of dollars in speaking engagements and other opportunities. The more emails WikiLeaks releases, the more lines between the Clinton Foundation and her State Department and Clinton's personal businesses, they are all blurred, so said Trump. Trump's campaign sent out a statement after the rally that reiterated his criticisms of the interplay revealed in the memo, calling it pay to play, which clearly that's what it appears to be. That's what it appears to be. Then you've got Erica Garner out there, the daughter of Eric Garner, who died in New York police custody. And then there was another one of these emails. Apparently there was a plan to use Eric Garner as a talking point in the campaign. And Erica Garner sent out ripping text messages ripping the Clinton campaign. Why would you want to, quote, use my dad in your campaign? Use my dad, she said. And they also said that they had Erica Garner problems. Well, clearly they did. But I still think the biggest drag on the Clinton campaign in the last week and a half here, for the last week and a half here, will be the Obamacare premium hikes. This week, Hillary Clinton promising, we're going to make changes to fix problems in Obamacare. Really? This disastrous law that dates back to 1992 and you championed because Obamacare was actually different. This really is Hillary care. And obviously something she's very proud of. Because earlier this year, she referred to it as Hillary care. In fact, let me refresh your memory one more time because it's so much fun. Let's hear Hillary Clinton about the Affordable Care Act and health care and who should be in charge and what it should be called. Go.
I want to defend the Affordable Care Act. It is one of the great accomplishments, not only of this president, but of the Democratic Party going back to Harry Truman. The Republicans are... the Republicans are determined to repeal it, and they've tried 62 times just to turn it back to the insurance companies. Senator Sanders and I share the same goal. We want to get to universal health care coverage. Before it was called Obamacare, it was called Hillary Care. Before it was called Obamacare, it was called Hillary Care. Hillary Care. Hillary Care. Hillary Care.
Well, here's the thing. I'm going to tell you right now, the hope from the Democrats to win the United States Senate is quickly fading out of reach. Kelly Ayotte leading in New Hampshire. Pat Toomey leading in Pennsylvania. Burr in North Carolina. Rubio in Florida. Blunt in Missouri. Heck in Nevada. Of course, Portman is walking away with it in Ohio and Grassley in Iowa. They may get a couple of pickups, but I wouldn't bank on it because I think Indiana can still go red. I think Indiana, because if you didn't hear this story, Evan Bayh, who's part of Indiana royalty, if you will, his opponent comes out and goes, one of the people asked him, what is your address in Indianapolis? Evan Bayh got it wrong. He didn't know his own address because he's not in Indiana enough to even know what his address is there. His light bill each month, about $20. So when they say, Evan Bayh, you're a political guy that lives in Washington, D.C., and you know nothing about Indiana, well, they've pretty well got him. If the election were held today, the Republicans would end up with at least 52 seats. At least 52 seats in the U.S. Senate. I think they'll get 53, might be 54. Let's go to the hotline. Jennifer checking in on these Obamacare concerns. Jennifer, what's on your mind?
Well, listen, I have a question for you, dear. Obamacare is responsible for the destruction of the 40-hour work week.
Correct.
Donald Trump gets rid of Obamacare. Can we get our 40-hour work week back so that people don't have to work three jobs to exist?
Well, you know, and for people that don't understand that, in order to be considered not full-time and part-time, so therefore they don't have to buy you insurance, those being companies that are required by the law, you had to work 29 hours or less per week, creating the part-time economy. Jennifer, you're exactly right. And yes, we would get back the 40-hour work week. No question about it.
Why in God's name would any union support Hillary Clinton when they are responsible for the destruction of the 40-hour work week? That included time and a half, double time, and triple time. And I rest my case.
Well said, prosecutor. Well said. Jennifer, always welcome here on the program, as are you. Now, when we come back after the break, how about we talk a little bit of football with Jim Brandstatter, the voice of not only the Wolverines, but the Lions that are having a pretty good run right now. Back in a minute on the Steve Gruber Show.